Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello, welcome to Creating Change. This is Doug Foresta, your host as always. Today, you're going to be hearing a conversation between myself and Deborah Rue talking about should we be paid well for social good? And one of the things about creating change when we go out and create change in the world is that for so many of us, when we think about creating change, people tell us that we shouldn't be paid well. And so Deborah and I wanted to tackle this conversation about should we be paid well for doing good work in the world? And I hope that you enjoy it. Here is the episode. So great to be here. And I know we're going to be talking about, I know our topic today, we're going to be talking about the question of, I'm a social worker by profession. And the question about, is it the case that you should not be compensated well if you're doing good work, right? Is that kind of sort of the theme?
Absolutely. I had written after a recent experience, I'd written a note that said, I've got to talk about this and blog about this. Why do people assume when you're doing good work, you should not be paid? And I think that's a universal theme. And I also think that so much money is being spent on things that do not add value to the world. Or I shouldn't say it like that. Let me say it a little different. So much money is being spent on things that sometimes just really unempower people and make us sad. And, you know, I look at the money that's being spent on the presidential, candidacy in the United States right now. And I think, what could we do with some of the money that was spent just on people that didn't get, the Republican candidacy or the Democrat candidacy? I can't say that word this morning. So I just, and I this has happened to me a lot in my career, and I know it's happened to you too, Doug. And of course, then you take it and you multiply it out through the whole world. So I think it's time for the world to start looking at the value of social good and social impact. And so I think it's a good conversation to have.
Well, I'll tell you, when I went back to school for my MSW, the first thing they said to me, when I went to school and when I went to apply, actually, and I said, I'd like to get an application. And the admissions counselor said, she goes, well, you're not going to make any money in this field, right? And I remember it was such a weird thing because, what if I had been you go back to be a doctor, or I'd gone back to school to be a lawyer, or whatever it is. And for the admissions counselor to say, you're not going to make any money as a lawyer.
Right. You're not going to make any money as an engineer or a doctor.
I think that there's a couple of things to this. I mean, one is obviously, is that true? And then number two, I think another thing that comes to mind is, how does that impact social good? I mean, how does that impact, for example, people with persons with disabilities or anybody who needs to, who relies on services, right? And if people aren't paid well, then how does that impact the lives of people who need those services? And then how does that impact the lives of the people who provide those services?
I agree. And I have been a spiritual seeker my whole life. I was raised as a Christian, and I have heard many, many times that, you don't have to worry about how much money you make, God will provide. And if you're too worried about how much money you make, then maybe you're not as good of a person as you need to be. And it's interesting that so many of these things, money is the root of all evil, which, by the way, there's a whole lot more to that statement than just that. I just have thought so much about it because I was in the banking industry for many years and I made really good money. I was able to really provide, a lot for my family. I worked hard, but I got to a point where I thought, I believe I can add even more value in the world if I'm not in this field. Not that you can't add great value wherever you're planted. I believe that. But I think you could add a lot of good value if I went in a different direction. So then as I moved into, I want to make an impact for people like my daughter with disabilities, and sort of what your counselor said, okay, but you're not going to make any money. I just think that it's ridiculous. And I think if we're going to evolve as a world, as a species, we've got to sort of turn that around. And recently, I had somebody ask me to come and speak at a conference, and it's a, you know, it's in another country, and it's in a wealthier country. And the person that invited me is being paid, and hopefully paid well for the valuable work they do, and they wanted me to come in and do a workshop pre-conference, and then several workshops during the conference, and they wanted me to help guide them as they set up the conference, bring in sponsors, do a lot of marketing. And then they came to me and said, what we'll do is we'll waive your registration fee. And I said, well, I'm coming from the United States. This is very expensive. And they started lecturing me about how important it is to help people with disabilities, which amazed me, because in the first place, he's getting paid to do this, but I'm not supposed to get paid to do this. And I that's fine. I understand that sometimes conferences can't pay their speakers, but I just thought it took a lot. It was sort of, it made me really start thinking about this topic, and that how often this happens over and over, and that, oh, you're doing social good. And I'll give you another example, Doug. I was working one time with a local BLN, Business Leadership Network, in Virginia. And once again, it's part of the US BLN. If people haven't heard of it, it's a wonderful organization that brings business to business together to talk about empowering ways to bring people with disabilities into the workforce. And so this gentleman had contacted me and said, I have this HR program, and I think, the corporations that are part of this BLN would get a lot of value out of this. And so I said, okay, well, before I introduce you to the network, you're accessible, right? Your program is accessible to individuals with disabilities. And he's like, what? What is that? And I said, well, technology has to be accessible to people with disabilities, or many people with disabilities can't use it. And he said, oh, I've never heard of that. He said, what I'll let you do, I'm going to let you come in, you can test it, and I'll, have a technical person work with you and figure out what we need to do to make sure this program is accessible. And you can do that for free. And I know you appreciate you letting me do that, since you work for people with disabilities. And I was like, really? Really? So I said, okay, now help. I want to make sure I understand what you're saying. You're saying to me, somebody that has a very large influential network, that you're going to allow me the gift of making your product accessible so that people can use it. Is that what you're telling me? And I guess the guy realized that was the wrong answer. And he's like, So it's like, including people with disabilities in your workforce and making sure they can use your programs, that's not a charity. That's, 1 in 7 people in the world have a disability. In the United States, 1 in 5. This, we cannot always think about this as, yeah, I'll be happy to let you do it for free, because then people starve to death.
When you really think about it, from another perspective as well, from doing therapy, the insurance industry, over the last year, I've been doing therapy for the last 10 years or so, as a therapist, and the insurance industry oftentimes will deny people coverage, or they, there's some insurances that I just haven't taken because it's like $55 an hour. And that to me is just not respectful of, right, the $100,000 of student loans that I had to take out, and the thousands of hours of practice that I have. Is it's as hard to become a therapist as it is to become a physician's assistant, or any other, any other kind of healthcare practitioner, mid-level healthcare practitioner. And to me, that's just not respectful. And what the insurance companies have said is, people need help. I mean, are you not going to help them? And right. I think that is the, I've never cursed on this show, but I really want to, but I'll say it the next way. That is the BS that I think we need to overcome. That narrative is an oppressive narrative. The narrative that we should not be paid well for doing good work in the world is an oppressive narrative.
I agree. And you look at the teachers, what we're paying teachers, or what we're paying, you know, firefighters or police officers or anybody doing social good. So what we're saying to the world is, and that those things don't matter. It doesn't matter if you're doing work that really can help empower the world. Instead, so we're making money bad. We're making it bad by what we're saying. And I know a lot of the younger generation are saying BS again, because we're going to make a difference and we're going to make a lot of money. Because what I believe is the more money I have, the more good that I can do. You were telling me a story, Doug, before we started about being, you know, working in a field where you were a doorman. And I think you should tell us that story. That's a powerful story.
Before I've told this story before, and people want to hear, you know, my story of my journey of being a doorman, they can go to Empower Radio and I talk about it. But, you know, I worked for 5 years as a overnight doorman bellman at the Millennium Broadway Hotel in New York City, and I made good money. I mean, I made, you know, up to six figures at that job, you know, lugging people's bags and greeting them. And it was a good, you know, I mean, I was helping people, but certainly, you know, the reason that I left was because I wasn't helping people to the full capacity of my own human potential, right? And I decided that I moved from New York to Massachusetts in 2002 and didn't have any experience in human services. I only had a bachelor's in psychology at that time. And so, you know, I was looking for a job, and I came upon working, being a group, managing two group homes for individuals with disabilities. And I was making a whopping $11 an hour in that job. Wow. I took a huge, huge pay cut. And at the time, I knew I needed to get the experience. But I was only able to do it for about 6 months because I just couldn't survive. And, you know, I think that's the shame of, you mentioned this before, Deborah, it's like, you know, we put our money where we see value, right? Money at the end of the day is an energy. And we put our energy where we see value. So if we're not putting our money into you know, having these services, and if we're not putting money into social good, then, you know, what do we actually value? And it's interesting to see where people spend their money.
Well, I think it is too, and I think it's also very interesting. This is a lesson that I had to walk. I come from a middle class family. We grew up in Florida, and you know, there were times when we really struggled as kids. You know, we didn't have money that we needed for basic things, but you know, we were fine. We made it through. But I remember sometimes we would be driving by wealthier houses, or we would see somebody in a really wealthy car, you know, and my mom would make a comment about, you know, they're a drug dealer or something ridiculous. Yeah. And I thought, wait a minute, are we saying all rich, wealthy people are bad? Because that is totally not true either. And I remember when I started Tech Access, and I really struggled. I went from making a lot of money to making no money, which is, by the way, sometimes the life of an entrepreneur as you're building your company. And I didn't let it stop me. I still went out and, you know, really focused on doing the very best job I could. And I never, ever remember doing without. I was always had plenty to eat, you know. And so it's sometimes I think in my mind, it's what they call what first world problems. But it still felt like something was wrong. And I really believe that right now, the only way we can truly evolve as a species, and I talk about this a lot, but it feels very powerful to me right now. It feels like right now we can go one way or we can go the other way. And you know, you look at this, once again, presidential election that's going on in the United States, and it's like, there's one candidate that's making fun of people with disabilities, and there's another candidate that's not really liked that much, but there, her whole life she's spent giving back and serving others. And sometimes people look at that and it's like, I hear media not really valuing all the work that, you know, she has done to empower others and to fight for others, and sort of discounting the work that she's done. And I think I think it's time for a change. And I really think the young people are demanding that we change and evolve too. But I truly believe, and I've said this to many people, you know, money is not a bad thing. Having money allows us to do great social good, great social good. I mean, if we could channel a lot of the money, that's one thing I love what Warren Buffett was doing, you know, take most of his wealth and work with a whole bunch of other very wealthy people and say, give most of your wealth away to solving major social problems in the world. I'm a big fan of Warren Buffett because I think that that's what we need to do. How much money do you need? And I'm not saying give away all your money. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying the more money I have as somebody that really wants to make a difference in the world, the more good I think I can do, the bigger my voice can be. And not even my voice is my voice right now, but the bigger impact I can have, the more money I have. It's not only about the money. You can have great impact. You know, we've seen a lot of leaders have great impact without money, but somehow we've got to shift this from it's all about paying ridiculous amounts of money to celebrities and sports figures, and then we ask our teachers and our social workers to live on, you know, below poverty level.
You know, one thing I was thinking about as you said that is, so there's the other piece about money. You know, one thing is that, well, this is the craziness if we really explore the narratives that we have around money. So, and social good. So, you know, don't make a lot of money, right? And, you know, that's left best for charity. But also don't raise too much money for charity, because if you do that, you're a little suspect. You know, then how much money did the Clinton Foundation raise? That seems wrong. You know, don't raise too much money. You know, we want social problems to be handled with a bake sale, you know, at the local, right. The local PTA or right. Something. Yeah, I think we just need to get over the idea that I think we're both kind of saying that. I think one of the things we're both saying is that the idea that you can't make money and do good is actually the opposite of what's true. You have to make money, because in order to change something, you have to be able, you have to have money in order to have impact. That's not the only form of impact that we can have. And, you know, you can do things that don't cost a lot of money, but at the end of the day, you know, money is the currency or energy of our society. And if you don't have it, you will stall out and you won't be able to have the impact that you need to have.
I agree. And I think also, going back to my experience, I learned so much walking the experience of building Tech Access and all the mistakes I made and all the amazing, you know, miracles I had along the way as well. But I remember I successfully raised money over the period of Tech Access. And but I always, as a company, we were always struggling with cash flow issues, common to entrepreneurs. And I had an investor, a female investor, say to me one time, "Deborah, you have actually raised a lot of money for your company over the years, and you're now looking to raise more money. Tell me why this time it's going to be different." And I really thought about it. And to be honest, it stung when she said that. But I thought about it. And I remember laying in bed and really, really thinking about that. Because at the time when I was raising money, what was going to happen, because the financial crisis had really hurt my company. The work we were doing with the corporations had really dried up, because the big corporations had all gotten in trouble during that scary financial time that we walked as a world. But I remember what I really needed to do was I needed to lay off quite a few members of my team. And for obvious reasons, I did not want to do that. I did not want to do it. So I thought, if I can go and I can get more money, I won't have to lay it off and I won't have to look this really scary reality in the face, because I didn't want to do that. And so when she said that, and I really thought about it and I pondered it, and I thought, she's right. I've got to do the right thing by everybody, the very best thing that I can do. And I had to make some really hard decisions, but it wasn't only about at the time. It's also not only about money, as we're saying. So, you know, there's some kind of balance. It can't be that let's not pay people that are doing good social work ever, you know, anybody doing charity, let's just keep them poor. But at the same time, it's, I guess, a better way of saying it is, how do we balance this? And in my career now, I'm doing well now, so I'm not complaining or whining about money, but I just keep seeing that happening all over the world. And really believing that we need to start looking at money in a different way. I'm very hopeful, Doug, because I remember when I created Tech Access back in 2001. At the time, there wasn't social enterprise or social entrepreneur. We weren't using those terms. And I didn't realize that when I was building Tech Access that I was doing social good, or, you know, I knew it at one level. But like now we have B corporations, the beneficial corporations, which a good friend of mine, Michael Perrone, is very involved in that effort and has a B Corp. And I love what the B Corp stands for. And I love efforts like Ben and Jerry's and some of these really important entrepreneurs that have made such a difference with their work. You know, can you really change the world with ice cream? Maybe you can. And now they're making vegan ice cream for people like me that can't eat dairy even better.
Yeah, as you're saying that, I'm thinking too, like, what if we're asking the wrong questions? You know, we're asking the question about, should you make a decent living, right, if you're doing social good? And I think the answer is clearly, of course you should make a good living. But I think the other thing is, and this is where human potential, I mean, this is where I think that, you know, the dialogue can go off into even a more radical place, which is the assumption is, right, the way we've set things up right now is that, for example, you know, if you had a disability, you go on disability, right? And right, you become right, a net loss to society. That's the perception. You become right, a net loss to society. What if we really could bring out the human potential in all people, regardless of whether you have a disability or not, we wouldn't have to really have that. We wouldn't have to wrestle. It wouldn't become this lose-win, right? And that's where it is right now. Who gets this limited pot of money? Do you get this money? Do you get this money? And to be honest with you, Deborah, I'll say this out here. I honestly think that there are many nonprofits across the United States that have gotten so caught up in just I understand why, because it's survival, but they're so caught up in fighting for that limited amount of dollars that they've actually forgotten why they even started the nonprofit in the first place.
I agree. And I see a lot of people doing that. And I love the saying, follow your passion and the money will come. And I will tell you, I have found that happen in my life. But I still think, you know, that we've got to change these conversations. And I will tell you, Doug, that on one of our future programs, Michael Perrone, my friend, is going to join us and talk about B corporations. Yeah, and some amazing things that have happened with these beneficial corporations. It's interesting watching his progress, because he created this really amazing company and gives you know, a lot of the profits back to charities in Richmond, Virginia area. And he's been very big on creating legislation, working with legislators to create legislation, and just so that we could actually have something called a beneficial corporation. So that's very exciting. But changing the way we think about, you know, social good and money, and the way we encourage people to get involved in things that speak to their heart and make a difference in the world, I think is a really powerful thing to do, and something that we have to keep stopping and saying, well, wait a minute. Did you just say that because I'm doing good work that I shouldn't get compensated for that? And is that the right energy?
And here's another crazy idea. Shouldn't we all actually be doing good work? I mean, should we really be doing, should anybody be doing work that isn't good work?
Yeah. Yes. 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 Yeah. So, you know, I think it's very important, the work that we're doing and the work that a lot of other people are doing. And I'm very hopeful for our future. So Doug, thank you for joining me again. I think your voice is so powerful, and I think you allow my voice to be more powerful, and we come together to do a really amazing, good work. And, hopefully, you know, others will benefit from the work that we're doing and that others are doing as well.
Hope you've enjoyed this episode of Creating Change. And as always, remember, keep creating. The world needs your gifts. This is Doug Foresta at Creating Change.